So we are going to be talking about the Word of God, and in this lesson, we're talking about the sword of the Spirit. Last time, we talked about the Word as the seed, and how powerful a seed is. I put up the picture where a seed had been planted under a rock, and it had broken the rock open. That's how powerful the Word of God is. But the Word of God is also our weapon that we use to defend ourselves, and that's what we're going to be studying, how the Word can be used to defend ourselves. If we use our words, that's not going to work. You know, when we use our words, all we do is engender strife, and Satan is not too afraid of our words. But when we use his word, when we stand upon his word, he said his word will what? Never return void. And he also says his word will not pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will not. So my main focus scripture today is from Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. It says, for the word of God is quick. Now, that word quick is taken from the 16th century meaning of alive. When it says quicken, it means alive. So what it's saying, the word of God is alive. We don't have a God whose words are dead, but his word is alive. That means it moves. It can perform actions. The word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing aside even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God is always looking at our heart. Man is looking on this thing. But this thing's going to fade away. And mine is fading away. Mine is fading away. But I'm so glad God is not looking at my appearance. He is looking at the intent of my heart. And that's why David prayed in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. That is what God is looking at, and looking at our heart. You know what he said about David? He was a man after his own heart. That's what God is looking at. Where is your heart this morning? Where is your desire? Where is your treasure? What is your goal? Where are you looking for? What are you looking for? He is looking, and I don't want to get into my message today, so I'll have to not go down there yet. But God's word is looking at our heart. He's looking at our desires. And that's why we find some people receive mercy and some people don't. Because some of their heart, the Bible says, an evil heart. You can have an evil heart. But the word of God is able to discern your heart and your intents. Amen. Now, with the first time we find in Scripture the word about a sword is when God put some cherubim at the entrance of the garden. And that's the first time in Scripture that word sword is used. And so you can tell right away it's there to protect, it's there to defend, it's there to guard. Genesis 3, chapter 24, so he drove out the man, he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims. And I was teaching yesterday in the PI class, and we were talking about the book of Ezekiel, in which he describes in more detail what a cherubim is. A cherubim is an angelic being that their role is to guard. Their role is to defend. They are the ones that are, their wings cover the Ark of the Covenant. They surround the throne of God. And so it says that this is the first time that we hear this word about a sword, and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep. That means to guard the way to the tree of life. When man sinned, he was cut off from that access to the tree of life. When we sin, it separates us from closeness and nearness to God. It's only through his word that we can come back. Amen. It's only because David said, create in me a clean heart. We need to be renewed through the word. Amen. So we see that the first mention, as I said, of sword in the scriptures is in Genesis, where God gave a flaming sword to protect the way back into the garden. And so while the guardians, the cherubim, were there, there was no way back into the garden, I should say. And that was modeled in the tabernacle, right? The veil that separated everyone from being able to come before the presence of God was embroidered with cherubim. was embroidered with cherubim. But when Jesus died, let's say, when Jesus died, amen, that veil ripped in two. Amen. The way back into fellowship with God was made open again. Amen. So we see, though, that in the garden, a sword was given. Now, a sword can protect and a sword can kill. So when we use the word of God, as we were teaching yesterday, we have to use it skillfully. Because the very word we're trying to tell someone, if we use it unskillfully, can wound them, can hurt them, instead of saving them. Right? So the word is a sword. That means, now if you have a sword, you don't let a baby pick it up and play with it. Why? They'll hurt themselves. Many people hurt themselves with the sword of the Spirit. Because they believe they're able to handle it, and they're not. Paul, in his writings to, the Corinthians, said, listen, I'd like to start to tell you about meat, but you guys are still on the milk. You're not able to take the meat yet. You're choking on the milk. So when we talk about the sword of the Spirit, it's not something that we should just pick up lightly, but we should understand what its purpose is. In Ephesians 6:17, and also to the, I think, to the Corinthian or the Colossians church, Paul gives a description of the uniform of a Roman soldier, and he spiritualizes it by taking each part and attributing it to the armor that we should be wearing. And he starts off with the helmet of salvation. That's where we got to start. We got to have our head protected by the helmet of salvation, our mind. That's why there's more bone in your head than anywhere else, because that's the important part. And he starts off with the helmet of salvation. And he goes on about having your loins girt about with truth, and then the breastplate of righteousness, and the shield of faith, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. But then he says this, above all, taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Amen. Everything else is defensive. The only way you're going to defeat Satan is by the word of God. You know, probably we would be afraid if God opened our spiritual eyes and we could see the warfare that's going around us. I know, or I feel in my spirit, that I was under an attack a couple weeks ago. You know, very subtle, but I felt that that's what I was under. And I pretty much know what was going on. But you know what? Because of the word of God, I was able to get through that. Amen. Amen. For the word of God is quick, as I said. And that word that's translated quick just means alive. That means it's not dead words. Dead words don't do anything. They can't do anything, but they are alive. As we talked about last week, just one word that Jesus said to Peter was so powerful. He was able to get out of a boat in a storm and walk on water. God's words are powerful. And I've said it to you so many times. All you need is those three words, right? You know what three? Let there be. Let there be. If God says let there be, his word, when it speaks life into your soul, when it creates something new, when it gives you a joy, it is so powerful. Nothing Satan can do about that. Nothing that Satan can do, because it says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, if you were to study sword making, there's a whole art to sword making. And it starts off with how the steel is made. It is special carbonated steel so that it will not rust. But the most expensive swords, what they do is they fold the metal. They keep folding it, and they keep folding it, because what that does for the strains of the crystal, which is what steel is, it's a crystalline structure, it makes long chains. So what they would do in Japan, when you see these, what they call those curved swords? Well, the soldiers call it a samurai, but I think they're called a katana, but it's a special curved sword. And they're made so that they are strong, but they're flexible. And the only way to do that, they would fold the metal over and over again, and then beat it out, put it into the fire, take it out again, and then beat it out, and then fold it over. So the sword, when you look at it at the end, you'll see those streaks in it. Those are the folds. Do you understand that that's how we strengthen the word? When we keep folding it and over, and then we put it into the fire, we use it. It gets hot, we take it back out, and we fold it over again. And when that comes out, when it's honed, that sword could have taken, in fact, I think they take 6 months sometimes making one sword. They're so valuable because the strength comes from the folding of the metal. Steel by itself is strong, but you know what? It's brittle. A lot of people, they are strong, but yet they're brittle. You know, you hit them a certain place, the devil comes and they break. But once you've had that word folded into you, when the word has been folded into you, not only are you strong, but you are supple. You can take the blow. It will bend, but it will not break. That's why you notice a certain type of tree near the ocean. It's a palm tree. You know why they grow there? Because they can bend. When the hurricane comes, they can bend all the way over like this, and they won't break. You put something like an oak or something, some really low wind, they'll just break. So what God wants us to do is just like how they make the sword, we take the word and we fold it. We meditate upon it. It goes back into the fire, then it comes back out and they beat it. You can look on YouTube and you'll see how they make one of these samurai swords. For the word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any sword made by a human being, even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow. This means that God is able, through his word, to get to the very thing that you need to be cutting out of your life. Amen. Sometimes there's things we need to cut out. You know, if you go to the doctor and they do an MRI and they find you may have a precancerous growth, you know what they're going to tell you they want to do? They're going to say, look, we found this in time. It hasn't spread. So you know what we have to do? Got to cut it out. Amen. So the word of God, he is Dr. Jesus. He comes with the word. Not only is it defensive to fight against the enemy, but the word of God can cut out things in your life that are cancerous to you spiritually. That's what it's saying, to the piercing, even dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, to the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is God's weapon. Who is the word of God? Jesus. Jesus. In fact, I wish I'd put it in the lesson, but the Bible tells us clearly that he is the one in Revelation. It's the word of God that leads the army of heaven. And he's going to destroy the enemy just by the brightness of his coming, just by his word. Just like how he created everything, his word can destroy too. Amen. So God's weapon is his words. Isaiah 11 verse 4 tells us, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity, that means with fairness, for the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. You know what that's talking about? His word. We used to sing a song that said, God said it, I believe it. That settles it. Amen. I'm telling you, if you can get God to speak a word into your life and then hold on to it, that is more valuable than gold. That is more valuable than gold. You find your word. Maybe it'll be gold. Maybe God's sending you out to the nations. I don't know. But you find your word. My word was come. I told you that before. Because he's allowed me to walk on water. He's allowed some miraculous things in my life that as long as I can keep looking at him, he will bear us up. He will carry us. He will take us through. So God's weapon is his word. And if it's God's weapon, it should be our weapon too. How do we use that weapon? Well, we start off by prayer. That's what we do. We start off by prayer. Don't start to fight with your words. Don't start to fight with your words. No, you can only really truly fight spiritual things with a spiritual word. Amen. And so we find in 2 Thessalonians 2:8, again it says, and then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. It's speaking about the word of God. Because in the beginning was the word, The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse 10 it says, and the Word was made flesh, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten. Amen. So God's weapon is His Word. That means our weapon should be His Word. Amen. Not our word. Amen. His Word. His Word. And that's why I remember when I told you before, when I had the fire and the TV guy wanted to get some emotion out of me. you know, the house burning. I said, so, and they stick the mic in front of you. You know, they want some tears. They want. I just told him, listen, Romans 8:28. I use the Word. And we know. That's the most important part of that verse. If you can say, and we know. Can you say it today? And we know that all things are not good. But even the things that are bad, God can take them and turn them around. He can take nothing and make something. Amen. He can take a lot of bad things and reverse the process, make them nothing. He took the two fishes and five loaves and made something. How did He do it? You know what the Bible said? He took it and He did what? Yes, but how did He do it? He gave thanks. Right? He used the Word. He gave thanks. Imagine we have nothing. We go to our bank account. We got $2. You know what you should try doing? Taking them out, lay your hand upon it, and give thanks. That's fighting spiritually something physically. The car is not working. It's about to die. Go out and lay hands on it and give thanks. He can take nothing and make something. And He can take a lot of bad things and make nothing. God's Word is so powerful. He can make your big things small and your small things big. Because that is His weapon, and that's the weapon He has given to us. Now, I started off by saying the way into the garden was blocked because man had fallen. Man could not get back into the garden because his nature, his covering had been lost, had changed. So the way back was blocked, but God immediately started a plan. He had a plan to bring man back into communion, to open the door, to bring us back into fellowship. Amen. In John 14, verse 6, it said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the way. He is the Word. And if He is the Word of God, and the Scripture tells us that we should take the sword of the Spirit, which is what? So in other words, when we take Jesus, we're also taking the sword of the Spirit. He is our defender. He is our Savior. That's what it means. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So immediately, God's plan was to redeem us, to open back the way for us to return into paradise, into fellowship. In John 6:63, and I've quoted this one so many times, it says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, maketh alive. The flesh profiteth nothing but the words that I speak unto you. They are spirit and they are life. Anytime Jesus was going to do a miracle, it always was through the Word. Through the Word. He either said to the centurion, go, your servant is healed. Or He said to Peter, come, you can get out the boat. Or in the case of the food, of the two fish and five loaves, what did He say? He just gave thanks. He gave thanks before He raised Lazarus. In each case, before the miracle occurred, there was a word that went forth. There was a word that was pronounced. That's how God works. And many times, we don't want to do it that way. We either say our word, or we don't use His word. But that is the essence of going and getting back into the garden. We have to go through Jesus, because He is the Word of God. He is, in fact, also, literally, the sword of the Spirit. We find in Joshua chapter 5, when Israel was camped outside of Jericho, that Joshua went up into the mountains to pray or to meditate, and he came across this figure, this soldier, this general, with his sword drawn. It's very significant how he found him. He had the sword drawn. And of course, Joshua was startled and didn't know who this figure was. He said, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" He says, "Neither." Now that's a surprising answer. It's not God on our side. We better be on God's side. God is not moving to us. We have to move to him. See, sometimes we ask the wrong question. "God, are you on my side?" No, that's not how it works. You better be on his side. That's how it works. So he told him, "No, but as commander of the Lord's host have I now come." Immediately, Joshua knew who this was. The Bible said he took off his shoes and worshiped, because it was, in fact, the word of God in a manifestation. That's why the sword was drawn. And then now, how did they defeat Jericho? He was told what to do. He said, "You don't say anything for the first 7 days. You just march around Jericho. And on the seventh day, you march around seven times. And then you shout." Then you shout. There was a word that went forth. And then you know what happened? The walls came down. Israel did not fight a physical battle. Jericho was actually a spiritual war. Jericho was the seat of demon worship. In fact, they worshiped the sun god, whose name just happens to be in the Canaanite, Sin, S-I-N. Jericho fell. Jericho was a spiritual haven. And they did not fight physically. They could not have fought physically because the wall was so big and so high. There was no chance of these slaves who had only been around, you know, in the desert with no weapons, really. Their only weapon was the word of God. But that's all the weapon you need. When you have the word of God, you don't need any other weapon. Goliath said to David, "You come to me David said to Goliath, "You come to me with a sword and a shield, but I come to you with what?" Right. In other words, the word of God. He didn't really kill him with a little stone. No, that would not really have killed Goliath. That stone was guided by the word of God. That stone was guided by the word of God. The only way back in to the garden is with the word of God, which is Jesus. Amen. Now, sometimes we try all kinds of things to get things done. Usually our flesh. I want to go into the Old Testament and give you a story. "And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with you are too many." So they were facing an army of 300,000. So Gideon called all of Israel, "Let's fight." And at first about 60,000 people came, which was only one third of the enemy. That was still, you know, in man's eyes, too small. There's no way you can win fighting an army of 300,000 with 60,000. But God had a different idea. Sometimes we come and we come in all our planning, well, we're going to do this. And yet our little puny efforts isn't good enough either. We can't even do it. God said, "It's too much." I can imagine Gideon kind of going, "What?" But God, we don't even have a third of what they have. We're less than a third. We're just a barely above a quarter of the enemy. God says, "No, it's too much." You know why Gideon said that? Because he could not see the army of the Lord. One man, my father used to say, one man with God is the majority. One person in agreement with God is the majority. Amen. The Lord said unto Gideon, "The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me and say, use their own word, mine own hand hath saved me." Sometimes we get too clever and we try and figure out how we're going to work, mess out, instead of using the word of God. So God said, no. It can't work this way, because even though there's only a quarter of you, people will say, "Yeah, but we were skillful. We did this. We accomplished this." They were going to claim by their words the victory. So sometimes when we do that, we make the word of God in none effect. A lot of times when we don't have miracles and we're praying for something, it's because we have laid aside the word of God. That's what the scripture says. We make the word of God of none effect. That's terrible. That's terrible. We're going to look at that a little bit more. So now, God told him, let everyone who is not confident go home. Tell all the 60,000, like, if you've got a wife or you're worried about this battle, go home. And, you know, that's so important. The reason why Ukraine is doing so well is because they are determined. You can outdo a bigger enemy if you have more desire. You have to have a made-up mind to make heaven. You have to have a made-up mind. You have to have some determination that's, as they say, come hell or high water. I am not turning back. You have to have a made-up mind. Amen. Naomi said to Ruth, listen, you don't want to go back with your other girl? And she said, nope. Your God is going to be my God. Your people are going to be my people. You have to have a made-up mind. You have to have a made-up mind to come to church. You know that? You have to have a made-up mind to come to church here. Amen. There's lots of other prettier buildings, got nicer facilities, got better this. You have to have a made-up mind. Ruth had a made-up mind. Amen. So God told Gideon, I don't want my word to be of none effect. I want everyone to know when this is done who actually gave the victory. That's why God sometimes doesn't answer us right away. He lets it go till, as I've said before, our Lazarus dies. Where there's absolutely no hope. There's no way. No way this works out unless his word does something. You know, sometimes he lets us wait and wait. That's what he did with Lazarus. When they sent the message, he says, no, I'm going to wait another 2 days. Now, it seems cruel, but, you know, God can see the end result. We can't. We get in a panic. Lord, where are you? I've been calling. I've been praying for you, and it's been months, and it hasn't happened yet. But he's going to get the glory. His word is going to get the glory. Whoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And they returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. So the first time he told who has wives, go, and it was cut in half. God said, it's still too much. 32,000 is too much. And now they're down to 10,000. And then God says, it's still too much. But God, now we are 1/30th the army that's facing us. God says, no, that's too much. That's too much. That's how God works. Because the sword of the Spirit is powerful, sharper than any other two-edged sword. There remain too much. Hebrews 4:2. Now, let me explain. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. So although the word of God is powerful, it can be made useless if you don't believe. It's only powerful if it has faith behind it. That's why in most of the miracles that Jesus did, he always asked the question, do you believe I can do this? What's your answer? Because he's asking you today. You're praying for stuff, but he's asking you before he does it, do you believe his word? Because otherwise you're making the sword of none effect. You have to absolutely put belief between it. Now, when I used to do martial arts, and you do the brick breaking, it's a confidence thing, you know. You can't hold back, because if you hold back, it's going to hurt. That's when it hurts. You have to see your hand going all the way through. If you don't, you're not going to break it, and it's going to hurt. But if it breaks, actually, it hurts less. It hurts less. It's when it doesn't break is when it really hurts. So when you're looking at these bricks and you're thinking, ooh, you have to absolutely believe that you're going to do. If you don't believe, that will translate and you will not be going with all your might. And guess what? You won't do it. We make the word of God, the sword of the spirit, of none effect by our lack of faith. And we're all guilty of it. I'm guilty of it too. We're guilty of it. But the way to overcome that, and I've said this before, is to remember the victories that God has already done. David didn't look at Goliath. He looked at what God had done before. Remember, he said, he's helped me kill a bear. Now, a bear is a problem about as big as Goliath, about 13, 14 feet when they stand up. So he's helped me kill a bear. He's helped me kill a lion. Therefore, he's going to help me kill you. Look at what God has already done in your life. Any of you had any miracles? Am I the only one had some miracles? Am I the only one had some deliverances? Yesterday I was driving and I was just thanking God. I said, God, what an awesome job you've given me. My wife knows. I got a really outstanding review. And my wife says, how could they give you that? I kind of hope my boss is not watching. She said, how could they give you that? I can't even tell you what I do. But she knows. She said, how could they give you that kind of review? God. You know why? He knows where I'm busy on his job. He knows how busy I am on his job, which is where my focus is. So he makes me look so good. He covers up the gaps. Yeah, my boss gave me second to the highest score he could possibly give. So when I say better than I deserve, I'm only telling the truth. I'm only telling the truth. See, when we believe, we empower God to act upon our behalf. That's when the sword of the Spirit becomes powerful. When we don't believe, then it's just like Hebrews 4:2 says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached, even the word of God, did not profit them, not being mixed in them that with faith that heard it. Now, to make a sword effective, I said, you remember what I said, how they make the sword? They keep folding it. See, when you fold the word with faith, it becomes strong and it becomes flexible. So God didn't come right away. You know he's going to show up when it's just the right time. You keep folding that word with faith. Your sword then becomes something really exquisite and priceless, able to chop through. When they finished the sword, what they would do to test it, they would get these bamboo shoots. I wish I had found it on YouTube. And they'd get these bamboo shoots. And to test how powerful the sword is, they have a certain diameter and they have several of them in a row. And to see how good the sword is, they swipe it through and see how many it can cut through. And a really good sword will cut through even five of these 5-inch things because it's so strong and flexible. You understand that when we fold the word with faith, then it becomes powerful. If we don't, what happens when we strike something? It'll break because we have no faith. We have nothing behind it. Amen. See, the other thing they do when they've got a sword is they sharpen it. And they put it on what's called a whetstone. That means they put some water to help the abrasion sharpen the stone. So you know what happened? God said to Joshua, take him to the water test. We have 10,000 and it's still too much. We're going to do a water test. We're going to sharpen this sword. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. You see, Gideon had to do it the way God wanted it. Sometimes we try and fight the way we want to. But he would have never won if he had tried to fight the way he wanted to. So the people came down, and you know the story. It was those that cup the water was chosen. And then now they came down to, I think, 300. 300 versus 300,000. That's the kind of odds God like. Because when you get victory in that case, there is no doubt how that happened. There is no doubt. I can look back at my life and I can just see God's miraculous hand, where by no way should that have worked out. But God just did a, like in the movie, he did a Jedi mind trick. He said, devil said, you shall not pass. God said, let him through. Promotion and blessing comes from God. Has nothing to do with me. Nothing to do with me. All I need to do is trust and believe. Sometimes God is going to take us to the water test because we're still carrying too much baggage. He's going to take us. But we want to go fight. God says, no, you're going to have to follow my path before you go fight. This shall go with thee. The same shall not go with thee, of whomsoever I say unto thee. This shall not go with thee. The same shall not go. God was telling Gideon, you don't choose. You let me choose. Sometimes we want to choose and tell God how it's going to be. That's not going to work. Again, let's look at what was happening here. So now he divided the men up into three companies, and they went by night. Judges chapter 7, verse 20. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers. Do you understand? Again, this was a spiritual war. 300 people cannot fight 300,000. Not match. The only way we can win is if God fights for us. So a lot of times we think it's a physical war and we got all these plans. Really, it's a spiritual war and we need the word of God to direct us. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow with them. And then they cried out something. What did they cry out? The sword of the Lord. It's when they cried out, the sword of the Lord, the victory happened. Because what happened then, the word of the Lord went forth. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and the host ran. 300,000 men ran when the sword of the Lord was called upon. It wasn't what they did except for when the sword of the Lord. Whatever you are facing today, the word of God is also the sword of the Lord. And sometimes we just need to cry that out into our situation. And understand that what we're facing is not physical. It may not even be medical. It may not even be financial. You know, depression of certain times. It might not be chemical. It may be time to say the sword of the Lord, which is Jesus. See, the name back in the Old Testament was not revealed. So all they could cry out was the sword of the Lord. But that's all they needed. All we need today is to cry out Jesus. He has promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us. I'm running out of time. The weapon of victory was not the lamps or even the trumpets or even those 300 men. It was the word, the sword of the Lord. Amen. 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. You can't work some things out. You can't make some things right because you're fighting a spiritual war. But are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, that's thoughts, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The weapon of victory is the sword of the Lord. That's what Paul, see, the Old Testament says it, the New Testament says it, In the Old Testament, that's what they cried out. Right? The sword of the Lord. The Lord there is Jehovah, Yahweh. They called the name that was given. In other words, the sword of Yahweh. In the New Testament, the name is revealed, and it's Jesus. Amen. For at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that he is Lord. Amen. That is the weapon of victory. Hebrews 4:12, I'm going to end. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharp than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder. This demons have to flee. But they don't flee. They don't flee unless you have the Spirit. Because the sword of the Spirit, right? Above all, taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Amen. Verse 13, I didn't read before when I read Hebrews 4. I only read verse 12, but I'm going to end with this verse. Neither is there any creature, there's no demon that can escape, that is not manifest in his sight, that he can't see. There's no trouble troubling you that God can't get to, in other words. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. The one who we do business with, he knows all things. He can see all things. He knows your situation. There is no corner that Satan can go run and hide and say he's going to escape and come back later. You know, it's like when you go into a room that has cockroaches. You turn off the light, they all scatter. That doesn't work with God. He can see through walls. He can see under cabinets. The demons can't scatter from him. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. If you could stand with me. I hope you've been blessed today. The sword of the Spirit, which is... Didn't need 300,000 men. Didn't need 62,000 men. Didn't need 32,000. Didn't need 10,000 men. But they had to go to a water test. The final sharpening of a sword, that's what they do. It comes out the steel, they dunk it in oil. And then the final thing, they dunk it in water to harden it. And then they take water and a stone to sharpen it. And then those 300 men, they weren't going to try and fight with weapons. They cried out, the sword of Yahweh, which is the word of God. And that was all it took. 300,000 men booked out of there. They ran as fast as they could. Israel won a victory again without fighting. We can win victories without physical fights when we take the sword of the Spirit and apply it with faith. Amen. Then God will fight for us. He's promised that, he says, as he fought in the day of battle. We sing the song, God is fighting for us. Amen. And truly, if we let him, he will fight. He will be our defender. He will be our foreguard and our rear guard. That's what he was when Israel was getting out of Egypt. He was their defender. He says, behold, I send my angel before you. And the Egyptians couldn't come because he stood there as a pillar of fire and blocked their way till they ran into the water. And they failed the water test. None of them got out. Wow. But the word of God, the Bible says, abideth forever. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to be encouraged. I want you this week to take out the sword of the Spirit. And just like Gideon's men, you declare the sword of the Lord. The sword of the Lord. That's what they shouted because they didn't know better in the Old Testament. The name was not revealed. So they just said the sword. When it's capitalized like that in your scripture, it's speaking about Jehovah. So all they could say was the name they had been given. They said the sword of Jehovah, the sword of the Lord. But that was enough. And 300,000 of the army disappeared at night. They just ran because of God's word. Hallelujah. If you could bow your hearts with me. Father, we thank you that your word, hallelujah, will not return to you void. Lord, we ask you today, Lord Jesus, as your children, help us, oh God, to be armored up for the devil. Lord God, to take the helmet of salvation. Hallelujah. Have our loins girt about with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith on our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. But above all, hallelujah, help us to take the sword of the Spirit, which is your word. Hallelujah. We thank you today. Let your word and anointing flow in this service today. Be our covering, be our shield, be our rear guard. Lord, I pray and come against sickness and disease. Hallelujah. Against anxiety and depression. Lord, we take the sword of the Spirit and we raise it high. We thank you for victory today over the enemy. And we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Let's give God a praise offering today. Hallelujah.